naked in my bed. You were naked in my bed.
That's another band from Halifax, the Maynards. Breakout the Makeout is the name of the album that came out, 3 years ago? Naked is the name of the song. Before that, a band from Toronto, brand new album from Arts and Crafts, Hidden Cameras. Hidden Cameras off the album Origin Orphan is the name of the album. In the NA is the song that I played. This thing should be coming out very soon, if not out already. And before the Hidden Cameras, Sunset Rub Down, Dragon Slayer, Idiot Heart is the name of the song. You are listening to CITR Radio 101.9 FM in Vancouver. The show is live from Thunderbird Radio Hell, and we're going to switch to the live portion of our programming right now. Right now, live in studio with us, we have Payday Millionaire.
Get out, get out, get out, get out. time. Less than childlike.
Payday Millionaire on CITR. Hello, guys.
Hey, Ben. How's it going?
Good evening.
Good. Good. Excellent.
Hi, Ari.
So, let's quickly introduce yourself to the listening audience out there in Radioland. I think I did that backwards, but...
Sure. Well, I'm Jeremy, and I'm on voice and guitar.
I'm Rob, and I'm drums and voice.
Awesome. And you guys are...
Payday Millionaire.
So, let's talk a bit about the band. Like, when did it get started?
Sure. Well, we've been playing together solid for about a year now, and Rob and I have been in many different bands before, larger setups going back to when we were teenagers. And,
oh yeah. You can name some of those bands. Maybe.
Well, I was in Toronto. I was in a band called Circle of Ill Health for about 8 years, and then a band called the Mama Zetas, and then here in Vancouver, I came out here in the late 90s, and I was playing drums for Jesse Cullen, a great guy, in a band called Basement Suites, and we did a show here on Radio Hell. And then I played in another great band with a bunch of good people called The Weather for a couple of years.
Excellent.
And we parted ways a couple of, 2006, so a little ways ago. And after that, I was thinking of walking away, but I just can't help myself. And I've known Rob the whole time I've been in Vancouver, but we've just never had a chance to play together.
And,
And Rob's been in quite a few bands, too.
As a kid, I played in a few bands, and then I somehow stumbled into a band called Family Plot, playing the saxophone, which was really pretty freaky, weird at a young age of like 19.
Right.
And played in the Mighty Stove Bolt, which had a little minor, I don't know, we had some good times in the city.
Right. And
a bunch of other stuff that I never really want to talk about. Jeremy and I, like he says, we've known each other the whole time he's been in Vancouver, and that whole time, you basically had played in a bunch of great bands, and I sat dormant just waiting for this to happen, I think.
Yeah, that took quite a while. I'm surprised that. Have you ever, like, even before this, have you jammed at all or no?
Well, no, I just knew Rob because when I first came here to get a master's at UBC, of all places, I ended up in a big house full of people, and Rob was friends with everybody.
You're not allowed to say, like, those kind of things when you're at, like, the UBC, right?
So I didn't even really. I knew he played drums, sort of, but it was a very peripheral thing. And like I would see him on the street and say hi, kind of thing. But I didn't really know him that well. And I what a waste of time! I wish I'd made some sort of connection years ago.
You know, like they say, everything has its time and its place, right? So maybe this is it. You know.
Yeah. And so how did you go? So you said you played saxophone for a while, too? Or?
Yeah, well, that was one of those, you know, you played that sort of thing in high school, right?
Yeah.
And I really wanted to play the drums, but it was like, no, we already have too many drummers.
Okay.
And it was like, okay, so...
So when did you start playing drums? Was it pretty much the same time?
I remember I was 15. I had this drum kit that I bought for $50, yeah.
Right.
And that was the beginning of it, and yeah.
Drum and you love drums ever since?
Sure.
Sure.
I did honestly sort of not play for like 6 years, and it just dawned on me that it's like it was really a big part that was missing.
Great.
Yeah.
Yep. And Jeremy used to play drums for a bit.
Yeah.
But you just play everything, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, I still play drums in a band called The Enemy Feathers, which with some old friends of mine. That a couple of them are. One guy's Paul. The real sweetheart. He's out in Mission with a family, and Simon's out in Port Moody. But it's a great chance to keep playing drums and also to see old friends that otherwise I wouldn't get a chance to see. And and we've just been working on a 7-song record just this past weekend. We're having that together. I get to play with them like once or twice a month, and yeah, it's a lot of fun. I've just always really I've been a drummer that's always wanted to write songs and sing, even though I'm not being self-deprecating. I really enjoy what we're doing, but I don't think of myself as a guy that could actually sing. So I've come up with an elaborate system to actually pull this off. But anyway, the point of all this is that this is the love of my life, the songwriting, and it's really changed a lot too, because with just the two of us. We've ended up reworking a lot of things, and Rob and I have like a really good almost telekinesis in terms of like coming up with ideas and bouncing. So things change a lot. We everything's kind of 50-50. We're kind of like two brains kind of thing.
Awesome. So
I'm rambling.
So even writing, even lyrics wise, it's 50-50 sort of maybe?
It's getting to that point. Yeah. I mean, I've put Rob on the spot a few times to come up with a chorus and stuff, and he's pulled it off. So it's great. And we make changes, and we're pretty frank with each other too. If something's just really irking somebody, you know?
Right. Awesome. Do you guys want to play a couple more songs? And we'll come back and talk
about
it.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah. What do you got?
Start with Cityscape.
Sure.
Payday Millionaire on CITR.
This is a new one about Vancouver.
Whiplash. That's what you get in the cityscape. Can't make mistakes. Living, breathing, tumbleweed, thinking, feeling, right out to sea. You went by yourself, 600 square feet. You went and told yourself, this is exactly what I need. Whiplash, that's what you get in the cityscape. Last night.
Millionaire on CITR. So have you guys been recording any stuff at all?
Yeah, we're actually really excited because for us it's all about just making good songs and getting them down so we don't lose them.
Yeah.
And we finally got together 8 songs mastered, and we're going to give it out for free at a lesser sound quality as MP3s on a website, right. paydaymillionaire.com, which will be up and running Monday.
Oh, very nice.
So the first record's called Check to Check. And then after we rob the bank, we're going to do a CD and a vinyl pressing this September.
Yeah.
And we'll try to get it into this beautiful radio station as soon as possible.
Oh, very nice.
But please, if you like what you hear, like check it out. And then there's a link to it from the MySpace page that we have as well, too.
Yep.
And we're hoping to just keep recording as much as possible.
Right. Yeah, that's awesome. The last couple of songs, what are they about?
Well... Let me see here.
Does that have the name of the band? Oh, well, the name of the band.
The name of the band came from an old friend of mine, Chris Kelly. When I first came to Vancouver and was tentatively trying to play guitar and sing and do that rather than drum primarily, I had a bunch of acoustic songs, and he knew his way around a DAT recorder and whatnot and did we did an independent CD thing, and I played a few shows just with an acoustic guitar. Mm. And he said, why don't you call the record Payday Millionaire? And I'd heard the term before in a couple of country western songs, and it really related to a lot of the lyrics. A lot of the music tends to be about anxiety around modern life, the cruelties and inhumanity of wage labor, etc.
Right.
And Payday Millionaire is, you know, a term, I think, that goes back actually to the British occupation of Northern Ireland, and guys being paid and then going out on the weekend and spending... on the weekend, like they were millionaires, and then ending up literally in the paddy wagon at the end of the night. Mm-hmm. The band, in a lot of ways, it lets a lot of stress for us around being, preoccupied with paying the bills and things like that. So it just seemed really appropriate to use it from that first record. This is a long answer, sorry.
No, that's awesome. That's great. Well, you got time because... I'm just going to jump drums right now anyway, so it's all good. You're good. Smart.
We're building the drum kit.
Yeah. Slowly but surely.
There we go.
Okay. Yeah.
You ready for a couple more?
Yes, you bet. Okay. Live on CITR.
These two coming up, we played a couple already that are on the record that you can get online on Monday, but these two are on it. And the first one's called Conquistador. It's about imagining walking into First Nations areas and seeing all the dead people because of earlier transmitted disease. That's a great song. And then the other one's called TV Defendant. It's about shows like Judge Judy and the like.
Awesome. Payday Millionaire on CITR.
You ready to go?
Yes, sir.
Like a conquistador, you're always so tired and you're such a bore now. Such a bore now. Hey, hey. You show up but the gas station is empty. You show up but your mind is empty. Your mind is empty. Like a conquistador, you're always so tired and you're such a bore now. Such a bore now.
Lock into Loophole Man.
Okay, yeah.
This is a new one. It's about world debt.
One, two, three, four.
Gently your mouth and those offshore. Come on, Mexico, Mexico tour. happy day. My crow's feet are alive, that's what they say. It's so good to be alive. Watch out for the loophole, man. Watch out for the loophole, man. All right. A swinging death squad swill. Deregulated sleeping pills. I said a stinking fat pink mountain press sound. It's been that way since the death began.
I said where?
It's been that way since the death began. I said a caveman, an island, Bahama mama, mama, mama man. Just ask them in Africa. A happy day. My crow's feet are alive. That's what they say. It's so good to be alive. Watch out for the loophole, man. Watch out for the loophole, man. All right. Hup. Again. Hup. Check it out. Check it up. Check it in. Let's begin. You gotta be comfortable in your own. I said, where did your house go, man? Watch out, where did your house go, man? It's been that way since the death began.
It's said,
watch out for the loophole, man. I said, watch out for the loophole, man. I said, watch out, Africa, man.
Payday. Millionaire on CITR. So while you were talking about your singing,
Lord knows,
yes, and you do have a very distinct singing vocal style.
Yeah.
And I don't know what my, but almost everybody like
I don't know if
very,
it's good.
What's that?
It's good.
Yeah, it's good. It's very good.
Who knows?
But like, have you always sang like that, or how does?
Yeah. I mean, I've always really admired people that go for it anyway. Like
right.
Everyone from Willie Nelson and Neil Young to Lou Reed and Marky Smith. Like they're all heroes of mine. Johnny Cash,
mm-hmm.
And I mean, no disrespect. I think they're all great singers. But part of the excitement and energy is making it work within their limitations.
Mm-hmm.
And anyways, that always really inspired me to not give up.
That was good.
And also, yeah, I mean, I just really like the all the intonation and the cadence and stuff in speech and, you know, some hip-hop and soul music and all the different stuff. I mean, think about James Brown and all the great things he does that don't have much to do with singing in a conventional sense. And I've always been really excited by that kind of stuff.
All right. Huh? Well, awesome. Good answer.
Very good answer.
Wow. And I'm just actually on a different topic now. I was reading on your website. It says, well, your next show... It's at the...
Oh, yeah, it's at the Richmond Art Gallery, where I was an interim director curator there and in 2007, filling in for someone who'd retired unexpectedly, Corinne, wonderful artist. And there's a new director. They're going to be hiring a second curator soon, and her name's Lynn Beavis. And so the Thursday show next week is a sort of a welcome to her, to the Richmond community,
oh.
And the art community, and to the board and all that. But more importantly, it's also a launch for a catalog by a couple of artists, Pam Hall and Margaret Dragoo, who are senior performance and multimedia interdisciplinary artists. Pam lives out in Newfoundland. Margaret lives in Finsloo. And Margaret's primarily, although she does many, many different things, she's primarily known for performance work. And we're going to be doing a performance piece with her, which is musical, hence us being involved. And we're doing a very interesting take on Give Peace a Chance on the 40th anniversary of the Bed-In for Peace with Lennon and Ono
right.
in Montreal. And that'll happen at 8 o'clock and probably go till, well, to be on the safe side, probably 7:30. And it'll wrap up. Everything in Richmond wraps up early. It's a bedroom
right.
community. Everyone
right.
yeah. everyone will be out of there by 9. But we're excited. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So it's sort of, can you describe it a bit more? Like, so it's going to be...
It's going to be... not a conventional Payday Millionaire set.
Right.
It'll be one, I guess, for lack of a better way of putting it, one song
right.
that goes on for quite a long time,
right. mm-hmm.
C and G mostly.
Yeah.
And there's going to be a lot of performance involving a persona of Margaret's called Lady Justice, where she embodies the abstract sort of archetype of Lady Justice in Western culture and art history, with the blindfold and the scales and the sword. And she'll be performing, and we'll be playing along and singing with her. And I think it's a reflection on all sorts of issues coming out of 60s counterculture and the present state of affairs we find ourselves in. Yeah. Not to sound pretentious.
Right. No, that sounds that sounds very interesting.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I worked with Margaret before, and she hit it off with Rob, which was awesome. I did a film called Easter Everywhere, a no budget on my computer film about the 13th floor elevators and the apocalypse after the Winter Olympics here in Vancouver. It's a weird film, but anyway, yeah. She's in the film and she plays Lady Justice in the film, and we really bonded and have done a few online sort of blog projects together and stuff like that.
Right. So a film about like 13th floor elevators.
Well, yeah, it's more about this idea of this sort of impasse in terms of the sense of stasis or paralysis around social change and what individuals can do to affect social change in contemporary culture. And it kind of reflects on that band as an example of a kind of utopic kind of project that kind of imploded.
Right. Do you think of your band as a band that is bringing a message, or are you just playing music? What do you think?
Oh, geez.
Wow.
I'm going to let Rob laugh.
Well, from my point of view, I think it's just music. I mean, wanted to get playing again. Jeremy was, you know, was just a perfect combination between the two of us, I thought. And, I mean, we really just enjoy playing the music. I don't think we try to ever sound or make anything sort of, you know, we're just trying to do, or just trying to play what we're playing.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. Like, for us, it's like, I mean, well, I can't speak for Rob completely, but I feel like it's just a real accomplishment to actually still be playing and to have a project that's real. And, like, just to do a show like this for us is, like, you know, it's like gravy. It's, like, great. Like, if we can do things like this until we drop dead, like, we'll be really happy.
Awesome. Yeah.
On your website, it says you play anywhere with anyone.
Yeah, we will. I mean, probably something horrible will happen, and then we'll change our policy.
Like, have you played strange shows yet? Any really weird?
No. I mean, we've been really blessed because every show we've had, we've seen bands we've never seen before that we really like, and we got we're not, you know, antisocial or anything, but. We both work a lot and we juggle a lot of things and we don't get out a lot. But we're really excited by contemporary music in Vancouver. So being in the band is really cool because even though we're not out there all the time because we just can't, we've been able to get in touch weirdly. Like someone will just hear us on MySpace or something. And we've gotten lucky just like the odd show here and there.
Right.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Our last show is a perfect example of that.
Enzio from Half Chinese. I didn't know the guy from Adam, and he just got a hold of me, and I really loved what I heard of his music and his guitar playing. And then he's bass in Kidnap Kids, which is another phenomenal band. There's that band Delta 5, the old school first wave feminist band, and it was like, wow, this is great. It's like them and the Velvets mixed together. It's like gorgeous.
Yeah.
And we got to play with those guys, and it was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And I would never have heard of them if Rob and I didn't stubbornly, you know, march on with this band of ours.
Awesome. Payday Millionaire live on CITR, and you have more songs.
This is a newer one, and it's called Place to Be. Do you want to go with that one?
Sure, yeah.
And Real marginal?
Sure.
All right.
One, two, three, four.
This ain't no bohemian fantasy. Won't get along, no sir, no man for no reality treatment. You just burn.
Payday Millionaire live on CITR. So yeah, you would, well, you.
Thanks for having us, by the way.
Yeah, thanks really. So much for coming out.
Thank you.
Might be a tough question. I don't know. We'll see what happens. Okay. You were talking about Kidnap Kids and, you know, Half Chinese and those bands you're playing with.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm not saying you guys are old, but...
We're very mature adults.
You know, like, so am I.
But, that's what my mom says.
Yeah. But you're seeing a lot of bands in Vancouver coming out now that are, like, not going to say kids, but just out of high school or in high school.
Yeah.
In Shindig this year... Three of the bands are underage, at least members of it.
How do they get in and stuff? Like, you guys sneak them in through the
back? Yeah, you can actually play. I think there's a rule that says you can play, but they can't. They just can't stick around. Yeah. So, and they've played, things like that. And Kidnap Kid's actually just old enough now to play.
Yeah. Oh, good.
Yeah, they're like 19 or something. Yeah. But there's a few that's even, so they're like the old band.
Huh.
Yeah. Well, like I was 18... playing a sold-out show at the Commodore,
right.
And that was a bit of a freak-out, right? So, yeah. I mean...
When I started playing, I was 15, 16, and I used to, in Toronto, and we used to play at the Elma Combo and the Silver Dollar, and I used to lie about my age and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
It was I haven't thought about it in a while, but, I mean...
How did it work in Toronto? You couldn't play, or could you?
Well, we didn't... I don't know. I mean, the other guys were, like, a few years ahead of me in high school,
right.
So... We just sort of lied about. I don't know what would have happened, but I think, you know, so much great music happens
just
coming out of those formative years when you're really excited and in love with music in a big way for the first time.
Right.
I mean, I don't know about Kidnap Kids. They're so sophisticated in terms of what they're doing. I think that, you know, they've obviously been at it for a few years. They probably started when they were 8 or something. They're child prodigies. But I mean, I was just talking to Rob about this, but like. I just feel like I'm just starting to be, I don't know, quote, good enough to actually, you know, do music I'm really proud of now. Like, it's taken me forever, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I feel like, we're just getting started.
Yeah. That's awesome. Like, and you're going to keep doing it until forever.
Until whatever. Until my arms fall off.
Yeah. Yeah. And, are you guys happy with just being a two-piece? Or what do you think? What are you thinking?
Oh, that's been... Great discussion, but we are, and yet there's always people that are interested, and they're always like, "Hey, are you looking for a bass player?"
Right.
And I think half the time we walk away from there going, "Well, that was kind of interesting. What do you think?" But somewhere in the back of our mind, we're saying, "Nah, it's like it's fine the way it is."
Right. It makes it easier for practicing too. I guess
it makes it easier for practicing.
Shows.
Getting to shows.
Yeah. Yeah. Because, you know,
communication's really good too. Because it's always one way back and forth.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You don't have to worry about it. Yeah.
But, you know, sometimes we just, you know, we have a little tear in our beer over just the idea of a running bass line where we can drop out and stuff. Like, that'd be amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. True.
And we tried a couple things. Like, there's a really amazing friend and musician, Kristen Chaumont, who used to be in a band that was around briefly in Vancouver called Sleep Holiday that I really liked. Okay. With his wife, Natalie, and they broke up, but now he's back, now he's drumming.
The band broke up.
The band broke up, not the wife and husband, no. And they play in a band called, he's playing in a two-piece called Witchwater, where he's playing drums, and Jessica plays a bunch of keyboards and sings, and they played a couple shows. They're a really, really interesting band. Yeah. Anyway, he really liked what we were doing, and he came up with some really great guitar stuff, like a second guitar. And we actually played with him, and we were kind of excited about it, but then we realized it was like one way or the other, because if we went that route, it would be like a very different, like, big sound, and, mm-hmm. and it was really amazing. So every once in a while we're going, God, maybe we should have, but then we really missed, I don't know, there's something kind of exciting about the economy of means, like, about trying to work with all these limitations that we really like, too.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, I'm rambling again.
That's good. Well, there's always a certain something to a two-piece, I don't know what I'm trying to catch here, but...
Yeah. I never wanted to be in a two-piece. It just ended up that way. Like, I wasn't seeking it out. We had another friend of ours, James Reimer, who plays bass, was really great. But he was coming off the end of his kind of band life and decided... Because he realized that we were going to continue on. And then when he bowed out and decided to sort of hang up the bass, we just decided to rearrange everything and try to do it this way so we could just be alive and play out in public once in a while.
Yeah. Sounds good.
Yeah, really, it didn't take long. Like, it was like a practice or two after that, and we realized this has...
Works.
It just works.
Yeah, and, works
and,
great.
Like, let's just run with it.
Yeah. Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah, and it's... We everywhere we go, like, we pack everything in... And Rob's, he drives a Mini. And we fit everything that you
surprised.
See in the studio in the Mini with us in it.
I did not expect that. I wasn't expecting that.
That's pretty wild.
That's pretty awesome. Yeah, it comes in. I looked outside. Usually it's like some big van or even, you know, like a trailer or some sort. Or like, yeah. Yeah. But yeah, it's like a Mini. Yeah.
And we love listening to music, obviously, and I can't think of, like, I mean, we're familiar with a lot of two pieces, but like all of our favorite music, so to speak, has bass in it.
Yeah.
So it's kind of weird.
Yeah. And actually, I mean,
we're like, that spark sounds like such and such. Or, well, why don't we go for this? But it's so hinging on the bass line.
Yeah.
In almost everything I like, I find myself most attracted to the bass.
Yeah.
You know, it's very strange.
That's kind of, yeah, that's interesting, though. It's like if you're Coke, you don't want, I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe the things you like to eat is not the stuff you want to make.
I think we knock on wood, like, things are going well. We're just, in terms of like just being able to play regularly and stuff. And we have this record that's coming out that was recorded as a two-piece, and we didn't do a lot of overdubs and stuff and whatnot. Although it's well produced, very well produced. Five of the songs were done by Felix Fung at Little Red Sounds here in Vancouver. He's amazing and a real sweetheart and a hard worker and takes pride and did a really amazing job. So it sounds very full. Anyway. But he was saying, you know, hey, I don't miss the bass, and we didn't either. But now that that's in the can, maybe somewhere down the road something will happen. I don't know.
Yeah. Awesome. And what do you know? We're at 50 minutes already.
Okay.
So we got about 10 more minutes. What are you thinking?
Well, if you're up for it, we can play a couple more tunes for you.
Yeah, sounds good.
How about we do Trouble and Foundling to close?
Sure.
Sounds good. Payday
Millionaire. These two are old standards of ours that are a couple of songs that have stuck around from when we first did the two-piece thing.
Awesome.
What a great segue.
Payday Millionaire live on CITR.
Okay. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Trouble if you think it's gonna work out alright. You're asking for trouble if you think it's gonna work out fine. You've been aloof now, maybe, always taking your time. Never thought I'd be so irritated. Wait for my friend to be kind. You're asking for trouble if you think it's gonna work out alright. Trouble if you think it's gonna work out fine. Here we go. Hoorah!
This is our last one. Thanks again for having us. It's been great.
Yeah.
Subject to
Great. Thank you very much. Payday Millionaire live on CITR.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah, September 3rd at the Richmond. Is that an open to everyone?
Yeah, it's perfectly free. Absolutely free. And check out our album online on Monday. Oh, yeah. PaydayMillionaire.com. You can download it for free.
Excellent.
It's yours.
Excellent. Do you guys have artwork for it all? Or no?
Yeah, a great local artist, Christy Nayeri, has done the website and the album cover for us. And I met her through Pietro Sammarco, who used to play trombone for They Shoe Horses, and recorded the Weather album that we managed to get in the can before we split up, and she's really got a great sensibility, and we let her have free reign with interpretation. We didn't want our fat mugs on the cover, and she did a really great job.
Awesome. So that's coming out Monday, and yeah, thanks again so much for coming out.
Yeah, thanks guys,
and thanks Irene for.
Yeah.
Sound.
Yeah, it was great to see Irene again, too.
Yeah, all sorts
it's been
of things.
A while.
Yeah, it's awesome. And Linus is coming up next with Hypnotic Groove in a couple minutes time. I'll see you guys, well, people listening next week. We'll be right back.